Welcome to Alt Universe Top 40. My name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand. On today's installment, we will take a look at a stack of records, all of which have a connection within just a few steps of a band that never had a top 40 hit in the United States, Spooky Tooth. One such single comes from a highly successful triple album, the first triple album in history to top the album charts in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World, and hit number one in every country with a chart, except Italy, Japan, and West Germany. For our Hall of Perfection track, we will appreciate the soulful saxophone of Autry DeWalt Mixon Jr., who, using a stage name, became a worldwide sensation on the basis of a hit that was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame back in 2002. Later, we will examine a co-production by the most famous piano man from the United States and the former lead guitarist from Spooky Tooth. For this particular single, there was not a single guitar used in the recording sessions. Finally, for our Hall of Perfection track, we will hear a world-famous cover of a Hot Chocolate song recorded by a group from New York that was fronted by a vocalist that was an uncredited contributor to the yelled chorus of Kiss's first hit, Rock and Roll All Night. But first, just as we do each week, we weave our way through the countdown with a single that, at some point during its chart life, was perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a one-week peak and then passed through to the other side. What kind of number 40 do we have today? Well, we climb aboard with a single that sounded like it was being played by a full band, but was in reality the work of two individuals, a singing keyboard player that overdubbed himself onto numerous tracks, and a drummer. That keyboard player who played all the instruments on this record except drums is the multi-talented former member of Spooky Tooth who arranged and played the exceptional piano part on one of our previous Hall of Perfection tracks, Without You by Nielsen. Without You also featured the same drummer as this single, the amazingly versatile and rock-solid Jim Keltner.
I've just closed my eyes again, climbed aboard the Dreamweaver train, trying to take away my worries of today and leave tomorrow behind. Thank you.
number 40, up from number 52 on the Record World charts, and on its way up to number 1 on the Cashbox survey and number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100. That was the multi-talented Gary Wright and Dreamweaver, a song that was inspired by a book given to him by his friend, George Harrison.
Alt Universe Top 40.
During our introduction, we mentioned that all of today's selections can be connected within just a few steps to the legendary, but not very commercially successful band, Spooky Tooth. Well, at number 20, we actually have a track by Spooky Tooth that was almost successful. Featuring Mike Harrison on vocals, the Dreamweaver himself Gary Wright on keyboards, Mick Jones on lead guitar, Bryson Graham on drums, and Chris Stewart on bass. Here is Spooky Tooth and This Time Around. Titled album, You Broke My Heart So I Busted Your Jaw, an album whose artwork was completed by Beatle friend and cohort Klaus Voormann. That was Spooky Tooth, and the closest thing they ever came to having a hit single in the United States, This Time Around.
This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 11, we have a single that originated from the triple album that, according to rock writer Colin Larkin, is, quote, generally rated as the best of all the Beatles' solo albums, close quote. That album, of course, was George Harrison's All Things Must Pass, which featured George and many of his friends, including Ringo, Eric Clapton, Billy Preston, Gary Wright, Peter Frampton, the members of Badfinger, and, of course, Klaus Voormann. Upon its release, All Things Must Pass hit number 1 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World in the United States, while topping the charts in every other country except Japan, where it reached number 4, Italy, where it hit number 2, and West Germany, where it had its worst showing at number 10.
What I feel.
Tell me why you
the triple album on Apple Records that was bestowed with the Grammy Hall of Fame Award. That was George Harrison with What Is Life, a single that spent a week at number 11 on its way up to number 10 in Billboard, 10 in Record World, 7 in Cashbox, and number 1 in Switzerland and Australia.
Number 10.
Back at number 40, we heard a song recorded by one of George Harrison's backing musicians on the album we just discussed, All Things Must Pass. Now, at number 10, we have a single by another musician that played behind George on All Things Must Pass, Peter Frampton. And, much like Gary Wright, who recorded Dreamweaver using just himself and a drummer, Frampton, on this track, did most of the work himself. He handled the guitars, vocals, synthesizers, and bass, and employed the amazing Steve Ferrone on drums. Single that reached number 4 on the mainstream airplay chart, but never climbed any higher than number 74 on any pop singles chart. That was Peter Frampton and the studio version of Lying, a song that was later included on his third gold live album, Live in Detroit.
Number 9,
Back at number 20, we played the closest thing that Spooky Tooth ever got to having a hit single. While they never reached the top 40 as a group, one of their members, as the leader of another group, reached the top 40 of the album charts 8 times in the U.S. alone and achieved 16 top 40 singles in America, 7 of which made the top 5, and one of those reached number 1. Here is the band founded by ex-Spooky Tooth member Mick Jones with one of their 7 top 5 singles, a record that peaked at number 4 in Billboard and hit number 1 in Canada. At number 9 on the Cashbox chart on its way up to a peak of number 4 in Billboard, that was Foreigner and Urgent, a single that featured a little bit of studio help from Junior Walker on the sax and Thomas Dolby on synthesizers.
Universe Top 40!
Auden and Gray should have reached number 8.
Now we are up to a selection that is modern and great and should have reached number 8. Actually, the original studio release of this track did make it to number 8 when it peaked at number 6 in Record World, but in both Billboard and Cashbox, it got stuck at number 17. Its best chart showing as a studio single was in Austria, where it climbed up to number 3. Today, we are playing a live version of that same song that features the original lead vocalist, guitarist, and writer, Billy Squire. However, the 2008 live album that featured this track was credited to a completely different entity that does not mention Billy Squire's name at all.
Now everybody, have you heard? If you're in the game, everybody sing it.
that.
Strokes the word.
What's that, boys?
Strokes the word.
I want to hear you.
Strokes the word.
Ooh, yeah. Don't take no rhythm. Don't take no style. Got a thirst for killing. Grab your body. Put your right hand down. Give a firm handshake. But talk to me about that one big break. Spread your ear pollution above far and wide. Keep your contribution. Keep it all in place. Work your way right into my case. Unless you're trying to bet me, to make my back full stride. Oh, you find you bled me. Skip on back, keep on.
Stroke me, stroke me.
Give me the business all night long. Your number down.
Stroke me, stroke me.
Say you're a winner, a man, you're just a sinner.
With a live version of The Stroke that included ex-Spooky Tooth member Gary Wright on keyboards, along with contributions from Hamish Stewart of The Average White Band, Edgar Winter, Colin Hay of Men at Work, Ringo Starr on drums, and of course Billy Squire singing lead and playing lead guitar. That was Ringo Starr and his all-star band and the 2008 live version of The Stroke.
Alt-Universe Top 40.
Well, we just finished playing a track by Ringo Starr and his all-star band. Now, with our little slice of heaven at number 7, we have a classic single by a group with a similar name, led by the extremely talented musician Autry DeWalt Mixon Jr., the talented sax man and vocalist known to the world as Junior Walker. Autry DeWalt Mixon Jr. was born in Blytheville, Arkansas on June 14, 1931. When he was a young child, his family moved to South Bend, Indiana, where he attended school and learned to play saxophone. It did not take long for his talent to be recognized, and soon Junior, as he was called, began sitting in with established musicians during club appearances in Indiana, Illinois, and Michigan. After setting up a home base in Michigan, the owner of a small record label called Harvey Records signed him and came up with the name the Junior Walker All-Stars. Shortly after Junior's independent record was released, Berry Gordy's group of Motown labels bought out Harvey Records. Amazingly, in 1965, Junior became a Motown artist almost by accident. Berry Gordy liked what he heard from him, but decided to make a minor change and call the act Junior Walker and the All-Stars. Over the course of his career on the Motown subsidiary Soul Records, Junior and the group enjoyed 12 top 40 pop hits while charting with 21 entries into the R&B top 40. However, after the mid-70s, Junior found it more difficult to hit the charts regularly and his contract was allowed to expire. His talent, of course, never expired. He played sessions with Blondie's Nigel Harrison. He appeared on Saturday Night Live and then brought himself to prominence again with the solo we just heard a few moments ago on Foreigner's Urgent. Later, he appeared in the movie Tapeheads, and one of his solo recordings was licensed for the movie Desperately Seeking Susan. Reforming the All-Stars and signing a new deal with Motown, Junior toured until his health became an obstacle. Unfortunately, he died of cancer in 1995 at the age of 64. Our little slice of heaven at number 7 today is Junior Walker's first big hit with the All-Stars, Shotgun. Of Heaven at number 7. That was Junior Walker and the All-Stars and their number 1 R&B single that peaked at number 4 on the pop charts, Shotgun. Since our last broadcast, we have received messages from all around the world. Hans George from Germany heard our 7440 kHz broadcast on a web SDR out of the Netherlands. He reports 35443 and states, quote, "In my youth, I used to listen to Casey Kasem's Top 40 on AFN Germany. Listening to your program was like a time leap, although you obviously take a different approach to ranking the songs. It was an interesting mix of titles I knew and others that I did not," close quote. Well, Hans George, that is just about the greatest compliment anyone could bestow upon us. We hope that we can live up to your statement with our shows in the future. We are happy that you have found us and hope all is well with you and yours. John and Andrea from Switzerland sent us a message on Mixcloud to let us know that they liked the air check of last week's show. They even reposted the air check on their page and shared it with their 1,400 or so followers. Well, John and Andrea, we cannot thank you enough for reposting our show. We hope you are doing well in Switzerland and we send you our highest regards. Can you hear us? If you can, please send your questions, comments, and reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you.
This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 6.
Now we are up to our bonus hit at number 6, awarded to an act that has placed at least 6 albums into the top 40 of the album charts. Today's rebellious rocker from Gainesville, Florida has certainly done that. And while most would not connect him up in any way to Spooky Tooth, he is, indeed, connected within just a few steps. Back at number 10, we heard the single Lying by Peter Frampton, whose easiest to trace connection to Spooky Tooth came from the recording sessions for George Harrison's All Things Must Pass, where Frampton, along with Spooky Tooth member Gary Wright and many others, participated. As you may recall, at least on the track Lying, Frampton played everything except drums. As we mentioned, those drums were handled by Steve Ferrone. That same Steve Ferrone is the drummer who ultimately replaced Stan Lynch in the Heartbreakers, touring and recording with Tom Petty until Tom's death. And one of the first recordings he ever made with Petty was this FM rock classic that should have been released on 45 and should have reached number 6 or higher in Billboard, Cashbox, and Radio and Records.
Tonight we
hit at number 6. That was Tom Petty, backed by Mike Campbell on lead guitar, Howie Epstein on bass, Ben Montinch on keyboards, Steve Ferrone on drums, and Lenny Castro on additional percussion, and You Wreck Me, a song written by Petty and Campbell that began as You Rock Me, but ultimately sounded better when the word rock was replaced throughout the song as wreck. What a perfect change. My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. Back at number 10, and again just now at number 6, we discussed world-class drummer Steve Ferrone, who, among other artists, has worked with both Tom Petty and Peter Frampton. For our selection at number 5, we have a track that features another drummer that has worked with Peter Frampton, Chad Cromwell. Chad just so happened to play drums on the live version of Lying that was included on Frampton's Live in Detroit album. A few years before hooking up with Frampton, Chad Cromwell played drums on a classic rock track by Rob Junkless, recorded for EMI Records at Sounds Unreal Studios in Memphis. For those listeners who are familiar with Rock 103, the heavyweight FM station from Memphis, this song will certainly ring a bell. You heard it on many Friday afternoons, sometimes sandwiched in between Switchin' to Glide by the Kings and Bang on the Drum All Day by Todd Rundgren.
Boys in the garage bands, boys playing in the bars. They're buying up the old Farfisas. They're strapping on guitars. They're turning back the pages. They're looking up the facts. They're playing at the altar of rhythm and blues, bowing down in the church of stacks. It's a Memphis thing. It's a Memphis groove thing. It's a Memphis thing. It's a Stone cape and a 10-inch pompadour. Massive. It's a Memphis thing. It's a Memphis groove thing. It's a Memphis thing. It's a Memphis groove thing. It's a Memphis thing. It's a Memphis groove thing. It's a Memphis thing. It's a Memphis groove thing. Drummer lays down the backbeat. Man, make sure you can feel it in your feet. The guitar player, make you shake and sweat now. And the singer sings it to you like a man possessed.
Coming in at number five, that was Memphis Thing by Rob Junkless, who got some help on that track from Chad Cromwell on drums, Ralph Shuckett on keyboards, Dave Cochran on bass, and on lead guitar and producing the sessions. That's right, the ever-present Jack Holder.
Alt-Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to number four, which usually means that we are going to play a selection that charted significantly better in England than it did in the United States. Today, however, we have a single that only had a modest showing in the UK, but was a top five in the US and hit number one in Canada. It is the signature song by that synthesizer whiz that, as we have mentioned a couple of times previously, started his recording career playing keyboards with Bruce Woolley and the Camera Club. After Woolley's highly regarded debut album fizzled, this instrumentalist found himself in high demand as a session player, appearing on recordings by Joan Armatrading and Robin Hitchcock. Then, as we heard at number nine, the whole world heard his keyboard work when Mick Jones of Foreigner drafted him into service on the Foreigner 4 album. Producers and label people read his name over and over in Foreigner's credits, and soon he was offered a solo deal with Venison Peril Records, a British indie that ultimately secured distribution with Capitol Records. Sounding absolutely nothing like anything he ever did for Foreigner, his debut solo single reached number 47 in England, but did significantly better in the U.S. when it shot straight up to number 5 on the Billboard Hot 100 and number 4 in the Cashbox survey. In Canada, it went all the way to number 1.
Thank you.
number four, that was She Blinded Me With Science by Thomas Dolby, who got a little bit of help in the recording studio from Dr. Magnus Pike, the eccentric British scientist who yelled science throughout the song. Unbelievably, one of the other background vocalists on the track was a famous record producer who, by the way, did not produce this one, Def Leppard and Shania Twain producer Mutt Lange.
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number three.
Now we are up to our three from way downtown. And today we're talking about downtown Hicksville, New York, the Long Island childhood hometown of everyone's favorite piano man, Billy Joel. In other episodes, we have played selections of Billy's that were produced by his longtime producer on Columbia Records, Phil Ramone. As both a music fan and a musician, I have spent hours literally studying the interplay between Billy Joel's excellent chord structure and Phil Ramone's superb arrangements from albums such as The Stranger and 52nd Street. While that relationship between artist and producer was certainly fruitful, Phil Ramone was not the only producer that helped Billy Joel achieve superb sound in the recording studio. For his 11th album, in somewhat of a surprise, Billy decided to co-produce the sessions himself. As his second set of ears, he asked Foreigner leader Mick Jones to co-produce with him, and as co-producers, their sessions resulted in exactly what Billy needed at that moment, reaching number one on the Billboard album chart. Over time, we will certainly play at least three selections from that album called Stormfront, with today's being a single from that album that should have reached number three, but only hit number 37 on the Billboard Hot 100.
In every to heal the wounds from lovers past until a new one comes along. I spoke to you in cautious tones. You answered me with no pretense, and still I feel I said every time I've held a rose, it seems I only felt the thorns. And so it goes, and so it goes, and so will you soon, I suppose. But if my silence made you my worst mistake, so I will share this room with you, and you can have this heart to break. And this is why closed is just as well for all I've seen. And so it goes, and so it goes, and you're the only one who knows. So I would choose to be with you. That's if the choice were mine. You can make decisions too, and you can have this heart to break. And so it goes, and so it goes. You're the only one who knows.
with our three from way downtown, that was Billy Joel and a track that he co-produced with Spooky Tooth and Foreigner member Mick Jones, And So It Goes.
Alt-Universe Top 40.
Number 2.
Now we are up to number 2, which means that we are going to play a selection that we believe should have reached number 1. And we are pretty certain that the rock act that released this single was ready for it to hit the top as well. What makes us believe that? Well, while many singles have raced up the charts only to get stuck at number 2, no single in the history of the Billboard charts has had the kind of run at number 2 that this one had. In 1982, it spent an unbelievable 10 weeks in the number 2 position, 9 of them behind the Olivia Newton-John mega hit Physical, and 1 week behind I Can't Go For That by Hall & Oates. Featuring the synthesizers of Thomas Dolby and the electric piano of Peter Frampton keyboardist Bob Mayo, that was Foreigner and their single that may very well still be stuck at number 2 even now, Waiting for a Girl Like You. Now we are up to our Hall of Perfection track at number 1. It is a number 1 single by a group whose lead vocalist has placed his voice on a number of legendary recordings. In fact, this singer, Ian Lloyd, was a background vocalist on the selection that we just heard at number 2, Waiting for a Girl Like You by Foreigner. He also sang background on a number of other Foreigner tracks, songs such as Feels Like the First Time, Cold as Ice, and Double Vision. What was Ian Lloyd's connection to Foreigner? Well, he told progressive rock writer Gary Hill, quote, "I actually introduced Mick Jones of Spooky Tooth to Ian MacDonald of King Crimson, and from that meeting, Foreigner was conceived," close quote. In addition to his work with Foreigner, Ian served as a backing vocalist for the artist that we heard at number 3, Billy Joel, and the one we heard at number 10, Peter Frampton. And because he happened to be in a recording studio next door to an unknown band called Kiss back in the early 70s, producer Neil Bogart and a bass player named Gene Simmons asked him to contribute to the gang-style chorus of a song that would someday be a universal rock anthem, Rock and Roll All Night. But Ian Lloyd did more than just sing background for his friends. He also fronted a band called The Stories, a group that was founded by the one-time member of The Left Banc, keyboardist Michael Brown. After several near misses, The Stories decided to record a cover of a Hot Chocolate single that had reached number 7 in England, but had completely flopped in the United States. The Stories took that flop to number 1.
She was black!
Perfection track at number 1, that was Brother Louie by The Stories, the group fronted by lead singer Ian Lloyd, who sometimes sounded a little bit like Rod Stewart. That's all we have for today. Please be sure to join us next week for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. In the meantime, to check out our older episodes, simply download the Mixcloud app and follow Alt Universe Top 40. Also, you can follow the links on our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. As we mentioned before, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email addressed to John@altuniversetop40.com. For our website and email addresses, those are all lowercase and 40 is a number. Until we meet again, keep making those good-hearted changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static.